You're listening to the Wobcast with the one and only, the legendary, the insurmountable Wobby.
Yes, another edition of the Wobcast. Welcome back. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, along with producer and co-host Chris Corso from the Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center in Eagan. It's another edition of the Wobcast, a busy one. The off-season program is underway. The schedule has been released, and the draft is this week. On this episode, we will discuss it all. What's up, Chrissy?
What's going on, Wobby? We haven't done one of these in a long time.
I know.
I'm ready to go. We have a long outline for this one. It's going to be a two-part podcast here, so we have a lot to talk about.
Well, this is good because football fans and Vikings fans are plugged in this week.
Yep.
All right, so this Wobcast part one and part two will not fall on deaf ears. It's falling onto ears that are listening. We appreciate everyone who is listening, and this show is going to be jam-packed. We're going to get to all of the stuff that I previewed, but first, as always, Chris is going to walk us through some news and notes.
Some news and notes. It's been a while, like we said, since we had a Wobcast. So we're going to go through some free agency final moves. One big one, which shocked the NFL world. We knew that this was going to happen with the Cowboys and Dez Bryant, but who would have known that he would have been let go like that rather than a contract discussion or anything
or
like that?
Or a trade or something.
Could have been done there, but instead they just waived Dez Bryant, and he is a free agent. So he still has not gone anywhere. There are some rumblings about the New York Giants making a move for him.
Well, because they cut Brandon Marshall, did they not?
They did.
They did, okay.
So there's a spot there.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but okay, who else?
I got
an idea.
Let me know.
What about Houston?
Houston, he would go there for sure.
Him and DeAndre Hopkins.
Yep, that would be a
Deshaun
combo.
Watson.
Yeah.
Right next door to Dallas.
Yep. He still has something in the tank, that's for sure.
Saying that would be pretty interesting. I'm sure he'd want to go to an NFC East team so he could play Dallas twice a year, but if you can't do that, go into the market right next to Dallas in the same state, that's not a bad idea either.
That would make a lot of sense.
So we'll see what happens. Fans at the NFL draft this year, there's going to be a bunch, like 50 or 100 or 150 Vikings fans will be at the draft. Every team will be represented. So that's one news slash note that I have. And I think that'll be a cool part of this year's draft. And it's another example, Chris, of the league doing different things all the time to try and stay on top of what fans want and to keep fans interested. And the league doesn't just rest on its laurels. The NFL draft is super popular, but the league doesn't just sit back and wait for people to watch the draft. The league keeps trying to do things to enhance the fan experience, and they're going to be doing that this year. So as you're watching draft coverage on the television from AT&T Stadium in Dallas, you're going to see a section of Vikings fans celebrating everything the Vikings do.
Well, we know how big the draft has become from an event standpoint. Just watching it in Philadelphia last year, all the picks being announced by different players and the fans, those Philly fans, obviously Vikings fans know about them. But I think the same thing's going to go for Dallas. You will be there. We'll talk about what you're covering in one of the further segments, but you'll be able to see some of these Cowboy faithful and the just being all over the place, and it's cool that we'll have 50 Vikings fans there. That will be really cool. We're going to take a look at some of the mock madnesses of some of what the experts have us picking in the NFL draft later on in the show, but first we're going to kind of highlight some important dates here at the end of free agency. April 20th was the deadline for our restricted free agents to sign their offer sheets. We're going to highlight Nick Easton, who was one of the big restricted free agents for the Vikings, who did sign his offer sheet. May 2nd is the deadline for teams to exercise their fifth-year options on players selected in the first round of the 2015 draft. So that would be Trey Waynes' year in that draft. And July 16th is the deadline for teams who designated a franchise player to have a multi-year contract extension. We obviously saw the Vikings go and extend the contract of linebacker Eric Kendricks. We'll touch on that coming up here as well. So a couple of big dates. But first, we had a big, big, big date last week, and that was the release of the Vikings 2018 schedule.
Yeah, always a fun day on the NFL offseason calendar is the schedule release. And, I always get a kick out of people who – you know, I don't think everyone remembers that we already knew who we were playing and where we were playing them.
I know. Some people don't even realize
that. So we already knew that. We just didn't know the dates, the order in which we were playing those teams. And I don't know how much of an impact that really has on how tough your schedule is. I mean, it can from time to time, but we already knew it was going to be a hard schedule. Like, we that didn't just dawn on us on schedule release day. And in fact, I think all things considered, the Vikings came away in pretty good shape with their schedule, really, because like we're at Green Bay early in the season. Yep. We have a bye before we're at Chicago. And you know, two out of our first three are at home and two out of our last three are at home. Like, so there are some, and the bye is right in the middle, like right where you want it in week 10. Like, there's a lot of things I like about the schedule. So, you know, I had a lot of fans email me and be like, oh my gosh, the schedule's impossible, blah, blah. And I'm like, we already knew who we were playing, so don't be surprised. And I actually think the schedule is pretty good.
You know what? When you are the division leader and you win 13 games, you're going to get a tough schedule. And that's what we see here with the Vikings. Obviously, we knew the opponents. We knew a lot of the road games that we have to play this year when it comes to playing at New England, at Seattle, obviously at Green Bay, at Chicago, at Philadelphia, at Los Angeles against the Rams. So we have a lot of, there's going to be a lot of tough road games for this team coming up here. You got to sit down with Coach Zimmer right after the schedule was released. So what was your takeaway from that?
Well, he was in a good mood, you know, and he's not going to say anything sensational, but he is going to be honest.
Yeah.
And it was kind of fun to just, I mean, because he, like, I was with him when he saw it. The schedule, you know, for the first time, and then we just went across the hallway into his office and did this thing with him. So it was kind of fun, you know, and sort of off camera, being honest and also just kind of, you know, shooting the breeze with him. He, you know, his big thing is like the quarterbacks we play are unbelievable this year.
He said that.
Rodgers twice, Stafford twice. You already know that, but I mean Garoppolo, you know, you're going to see Drew Brees, you're going to see Tom Brady, so. You know,
you might see Carson Wentz.
You might see
October 7th.
You might see a first round pick in Buffalo. You know, so you know that's kind of one of the things that he took away. I mean, Jared Goff. You know, so Russell Wilson. Like, I mean, there's really good quarterbacks on the Vikings schedule, and of course, that's what Coach Zimmer is worried about. But here's a little cut up that Chris has from our conversation with Mike Zimmer in his office right after he saw the schedule release. Christmas in April, the NFL schedule released today. We work so much in the offseason about all the hypotheticals and the what might happen. This is actual, like, real football stuff. The schedule is released. It's kind of a fun day.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, you start going through the draft and doing all those things, and then you finally get to find out when you're going to play. We already knew who, but now it's when.
We open at home against San Francisco. I know that maybe you focus more on, like, how are we going to close the season? We're going to get to that. But opening at home, what are your thoughts there?
I think it's great to open at home. You know, we were able to do that last year. And, you know, with our fans, I think it's a great way to kick off the season.
Yeah. Week two at Green Bay, you know, always it feels like we've gone to Green Bay late in the season the last few years with you as head coach. Now we go there. It should be a nice autumn afternoon in Green Bay. That'll be nice.
Yeah, grass will be perfect there in Lambeau, and you know, typically that's not how it's been when we've played there late in the year. So I think that's a good deal too.
Everyone likes Sunday games at noon in the NFL because that's the normal routine. But when you go 13-3 and you win your division, you got to play under the lights four times this year.
Yeah, you know, two of them are at home, so that's good. And then we've got two on the West Coast, so those will be tough ones. But you know, it's just part of hopefully we're on prime time a lot.
Yeah. You mentioned the West Coast. Two games on the West Coast. So does your mind start turning a little bit about getting guys into a routine and preparing for a two time zone change on the road?
Yeah, and the week four, we're at the Rams on Thursday night. Yeah. So it's going to be a short week as well. So, you know, we're starting to think about how we can manipulate that short week and what we can do from there.
Yeah, bye week kind of in the middle of the season, so that's good. Five games in December this year. December football always important, but when there are five games in December, that makes for a lot of fun too.
Yeah, and the fans always remember those games in December, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, we you know, we finish up with a couple division games, and so that's always going to be good. And then I think Seattle on Monday night, So we'll have some tough ones in there.
All right. So any predictions on record?
I'm just hoping to go 1-0 right now.
1-0 every week. That's what we want, right?
That's right.
Is this like the attire that you use when you go to the ranch? That's what I'm guessing, right?
This is actually schedule release attire.
I don't think so. I'm not buying it. This is ranch attire, so I'm going to go get mine, and we're going to head to the ranch right now. Thanks, Coach.
All right, thank you.
All right, well, it was cool to hear Coach Zimmer talk with Wobby right after he saw the schedule. You can also catch his reaction and the call from the draft room where our executive vice president, Rob Brzezinski, gets the call from Mike North of the NFL when they receive the actual schedule from the league. So and you get to see a little funny conversation between Vikings general manager Rick Spielman and head coach Mike Zimmer and Rob Brzezinski as well. Yeah. They kind of banter about the schedule a little
pretty
bit.
Cool.
So that was a cool little video on Vikings.com. Now we're going to look at some of our two favorite games. We're each going to pick two games that really stand out on the schedule. I'm really intrigued to hear what Wobby's games are. Obviously, there's some that stand out and some obvious choices, but you can go with some others as well.
My two favorites are back-to-back.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Mine are back-to-back games, and they're not my favorites because they are back-to-back. They just happen to be back-to-back. I love the Week 12 game at home against the Green Bay Packers on Sunday Night Football. It's my favorite broadcast, Sunday Night Football. I think they do a great job. And that's Thanksgiving weekend. So one of your favorite weeks and weekends of the year is probably Thanksgiving, and we're going to cap it off with a Vikings-Packers game on Sunday Night Football.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty BA, if you ask me.
I like it.
And so I love that, and it's at U.S. Bank Stadium, so that's super cool. And then the next week, we are at Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and Rob Gronkowski and the New England Patriots, and we only get to do that once every 8 years, and it's probably the last time we're going to be at Tom Brady.
Yep.
And it could be the last time we play Tom Brady. So I never will take for granted the opportunity to watch NFL immortality like Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And so I think it's going to be super cool to go to Gillette Stadium the week after that Thanksgiving weekend recap game and play the Patriots on a nationally broadcast game at 3:25 Central by Fox.
All right. Well, my two are going to be a little... Obviously, there's a lot to pick from here.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of big opponents. My first one is the obvious choice, the very obvious choice, and that is October 7th, Sunday, 3:25, probably
rematch.
The Fox game of the week, most likely. I'm sure Joe Buck and Troy Aikman or whoever will be broadcasting that game, and it's at Philadelphia. I got to be on that trip last year at Philly and in the NFC Championship, and man, I do not like those fans.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't like those fans, so we have a new quarterback. New offensive coordinator who was on the other side of the field, playing the coach of the quarterbacks and Carson Wentz and Nick Foles and John DeFilippo. So we have one of their own, and I think this is a game where you fool Mike Zimmer once, good luck fooling him twice. So,
all right, love it.
I don't know if we're going to be the favorites in that game, but man, I like our chances going against a team that whooped our butt last year. So.
All right. Your second favorite?
My second favorite is going to be, it's tough to pick against the New York Jets because that's my hometown, but I'm not going to pick that one.
Okay.
That'll be cool if I'm on that trip. That'll be a fun little homecoming. But I'm going with the New Orleans Saints game at home.
All right.
There's been some talk and video. There's a video on Vikings.com of some of the Saints players saying, man, we're ready. We want to win a game in U.S. Bank Stadium. They lost in week one on Monday Night Football against Sam Bradford. Obviously lost on a crushing play within the Minneapolis Miracle. And those guys are going to come into U.S. Bank Stadium on another NBC broadcast at 7:20 p.m. on October 28th. And they're going to want to win. Sean Payton's going to want to kick us in the rear end. So, watch out for Alvin Kamara in that one. Watch out for Drew Brees. And that defense is going to be very improved because there's a lot of young players on that team. So.
I like it. All right, good stuff. Like you said, Chris, I mean, you play a first-place schedule. You're 13-3 last year. There's going to be lots of super cool games on your schedule. That is the case for the Vikings. Four primetime games, a Thursday night game at the L.A. Rams early in the season will be pretty cool. And like I said earlier, two out of the first three at home, including the season opener against Jimmy Garoppolo and the fast upcoming San Francisco 49ers, and 2 out of 3 at home to close the season, including back-to-back NFC North games in Week 16 and 17 at the Detroit Lions 2 days before Christmas, and then home against the Chicago Bears in Week 17. For the third consecutive season, the Vikings close the season with a home game against the Bears. The last thing we do before we bid you adieu on part one of this Wobcast is to clean up some Vikings roster moves that were made in the last couple of weeks, Chrissy, and we'll start with the man in the middle.
That's right. There were some big roster moves, and we want to recap these because, man, they are big, and that's the contract extension of Vikings middle linebacker Eric Kendricks. A second-round pick in 2015. He's been a starter ever since, pretty much. He's been the leading tackler for the Vikings in each of his first 3 seasons, 367 total tackles. He's been a consistent player, always out on the field, hasn't missed many games. So yep. 7.5 career sacks, 5.5 of those have come against NFC North opponents, which is great. 30 tackles for losses, 2 interceptions. Actually, 2 touchdowns off interceptions, which is awesome to see that he's able to find the end zone. So he's pretty much done it all for this team. His versatility has allowed Minnesota to rank first in the NFL in opposing running backs production in the passing game in 2017. Yeah. So, Wobby, you spoke to Eric Kendricks right after he signed his new contract with the Vikings. So what are your reactions to just seeing such a young and blossoming player?
Yeah.
Be a Viking for probably a long time.
Well, this is exactly the way Spielman wants it to work. He wants to draft someone, have him fit into the system, have him blossom, and then give him a second contract. And that what that does is it keeps you from going into the free agent market to overspend for some players,
yeah.
And to put yourself and expose your salary cap health on a lot of free agents. When you hit on Eric Kendricks, when you hit on Everson Griffin and you're giving him second and third contracts, you hit on Xavier Rhodes, you hit on Harrison Smith, that is really allowing you to remain flexible with your salary cap. So that's one thing I really love. I also love Eric Kendricks, the person / the football integrity. This guy loves football. He cares pretty much only about football. You don't have to worry about him getting entangled in things away from the field that's going to detract from his concentration or his ability. This guy is all about playing football. He respects authority. He loves Zimmer. He loves Adam Zimmer. And he's coming here to work and get better every day, And he's not a big get in front of the camera or behind the microphone guy, which is too bad because fans would love to hear more from him. But it's also awesome because it kind of just shows you how dedicated he is to football. So no reservations about giving him security financially or with years on his contract. This is everything you want out of a football player. So it's all good news.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to take a listen to the sounds from a big day for the Vikings' man in the middle, Eric Kendricks.
Hey, Vikings fans, good news. Linebacker Eric Kendricks locked up. Congrats, man.
Appreciate it.
How's it feel?
It's good. It feels good. It's pretty crazy, everything I've been through and stuff. But I'm so happy,
Yeah.
Relief, weight off the shoulders, but I was ready to get back to work at this point.
You're not a big worry about the business side of things. You want to play ball, right? So when you get something like this done and sort of out of the way, not that it's a bad thing because it means security for you and for the team, but it's good to get this out and then focus on football, right?
Absolutely. I feel like I had great advice going in college, from my college coach. He played in the pros and he kind of was just like, don't make it about the money, don't make it about the business side of things. Just keep it the game that you always love and you always cherish and everything will take care of itself. And I've just kind of kept that mindset. I'm just happy to be, someplace where I'm wanted and where I want to be. So that's what it comes down to.
You guys on defense here with Coach Zimmer and position coach Adam Zimmer and George Edwards, there's really good continuity, it seems like. And I know that you guys stress communication all the time in your meeting room and as a defense. And when you have so much familiarity and continuity, that really helps.
It does. It definitely does. Going in, this is my 4th year going into, that's crazy. Seems like yesterday when it was my 1st year, but I've become more familiar with the defense, terminology, kind of making it our own and taking ownership of it. And with the guys I play with, everyone's been kind of there that I've started with. So we're also, improving on things we may have made mistakes on in the past and just always getting better, always trying to look to get better.
The draft is coming up, so there's a class of players coming in who are nervous or thinking about where they're going to go, you know, wondering about what their future is going to be like. What do you remember about being in that spot, you know, the week or two leading up to the draft?
Man, it's nerve-wracking, you know. You always have people who you think you're better than, or you think that where you think you're going to go to a team that you might think that likes you or whatever like that, but you really have no control over anything, yeah. and the chips just fall where they fall. All you can control is, you know, when you get in that building and what you do after that. So my advice to everybody, you know, who's getting drafted is just, you know, don't worry about it. Just wherever you go, just handle your business.
What do you remember about the early parts of your career, maybe your first year with the Vikings or getting coached up by Zim or, you know, playing with Anthony? Any memories from early in your career that you can reflect back on now that you've signed a second contract?
Man, a lot of good memories, you know, a lot of crazy memories. Some good seasons, some bad seasons, you know, according to our eyes. But, you know, just mainly, you know, it's always the people that I play with, you know, the leaders that, you know, I came in with, you know, people like Chad Greenway and, you know, Everson Griffin, you know, those kind of guys, Harrison Smith, you know, I can just go down the line. But, you know, it's definitely always been about the guys I play with, you know, like that. And I feel like we have a great group of guys.
All right, last question. Off-season program has launched, and everyone's super excited for the season, right? The regular season and those games. But you guys feel like there's a lot of work to be done here in the spring and summer before you get to that, right? Are you excited to get to work with your teammates?
Absolutely. You know, it's always fun being here in the spring. You know, put a little bit of work in, but also, you know, it's not as high as stress as, you know, as during the season. So, you know, you get a chance to, you know, mess around and stuff in the locker room and things like that. But at the end of the day, you know, we're always getting better. We're always, you know, working on speed, strength, and things like that. And it's fun, man. It's fun.
All right. Congratulations again.
Appreciate it.
Eric Kendricks locked up. He'll be the man in the middle of the Vikings defense for a long time to come. For highlights and photo galleries of Eric and all of his teammates, make sure you stay tuned to Vikings.com.
All right, from one Viking starter last year to another, this is a move that went under the radar for the Vikings, and that was restricted free agent Nick Easton officially signing his offer sheet last week. He's been around the building, but for him to officially sign that offer sheet was a big move. This is a player that started a ton of games for the Vikings last season, whether he can play guard or center. He's just a player that actually came in the Gerald Hodges deal, who mm-hmm. we traded Hodges to the 49ers, so Eric Kendricks could start at middle linebacker for the Vikings, and Nick Easton came kind of as an add-on in that deal, and he's hung around. He's been a backup starting for a little while on the offensive line, and he's been a guy who you can plug in at guard, you can plug in at center if Pat Elflein got hurt. And one thing I always remember, Coach Shermer had some of these sayings, and he would say, Nick Easton, he's a fast blinker.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Him and Pat Elflein, they're fast blinkers, and that means that they really have quick reaction time on the line. He always talked about how Easton was able to get out in front, whether it's a running back behind him, or he was quick on his feet, and he wasn't one of those big, bulky linebackers who kind of, not linebackers, offensive linemen, who hung out on the line. He was able to extend the play and go down the field with some of the playmakers on the team. So I think this is a big move to even have some depth there, whether we draft a lineman or whatever it may be. But this is a big player on the Vikings, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he gives you, you know, kind of like with Mike Remmers, you can play him at guard or tackle, so it allows you to just take the best available guard or tackle in the draft or free agency to pair with Mike Remmers. Same thing with Nick Easton. You know, if you find a guard who's better than Nick, Nick can also play center for you. Nick can play guard for you. He can probably play either guard. So Nick's a great guy to have on the roster. He's smart, and, you know, he's a hardworking guy who's kind of worked his way up from the bottom. Was tossed around in some trades and not really wanted that much, and was an add-in on some trades, and he's become a starter for us. So really, really good to have Nick back. And, you know, I think the Vikings offensive line was one of the most improved parts of the team from 16 to 17.
Absolutely.
And I think Nick was a big part of that. So speaking of improvement, we're going to look to improve our roster via the NFL draft, and we're going to talk about the NFL draft and preview the NFL draft in part two of this week's Wobcast, so we encourage you to check that out. But part one, for now, is over. On behalf of producer and co-host Chris Corso, I'm the host, Wobby, thanking you for listening and encouraging you to tune into part two of the Wobcast as we preview the 2018 NFL Draft.
yeah!